Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
And welcome to the ATS Mix Show. I am Johnny Anonymous.
And I'm Dave Rabbit.
And
yes.
I'm sorry.
What?
I didn't mean to walk all over you. But
what?
What a past couple of terrible 2 weeks we've had here.
Oh, man.
Last week we lost Tim Russert. And then this week we lost a good friend of yours, George Carlin. Right.
Yeah. George is a very dear, close friend of mine. And I'm very bummed about this because not only was he just a great comedic talent, he was just a fabulous, fabulous individual. And boy, talk about a guy that marched to his own drummer, John. Jeez.
Absolutely. In fact, there were a number of different routines and skits that he did. In fact, you know, he used to carry with him a Rolodex, and he would write down stuff that would happen to him during the day or things that happened in his life so that he could include that later on. And he had literally file cabinets. I saw a documentary on him where he said he thought at the time he had something like 15,000 bits of information that he would then just elaborate on.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, one time Bunny and I were in Vegas, and we went to see a show there, and I've seen him numerous, numerous times when he's in Vegas. And some people may not realize this, but he would, whenever he was going to do a new HBO special, he would do the material in Vegas, and he would have his yellow legal pad right there on the table with his water, and he would do the material, and every once in a while he would go over and look at his notes, and he would tell the audience, he says, "Well, I'm getting ready to do another HBO special, and, you know, I want to try some new shtick," you know, and so he would go over there and literally be testing it out on a Las Vegas audience. And then he would, you know, every now and then go over there and just make some chases. Nah, that sucked. And he'd cross through something. Well, I mean, this is the kind of guy this man was.
He was very real.
He was very real. He was very down to earth. And the members of AboveTopSecret.com have started a very nice thread as a homage to him. And I know, homage. Anyway, they did that, and I'm telling you, it's really amazing, you know, some of the things that people have posted. Almost 99.9% are very positive and, you know, wish you well, George, and yada, yada, yada. And then there's a few nuts, you know, sitting there going, well, you know, so much for his racist comments, I won't miss those, you know, and all that stuff. You know, and people didn't realize it's an act, you know. I mean, the guy touched on subjects that not everybody would go down. And, you know, the guy was a classic. He really was, and I'm going to miss him personally.
Absolutely. We've got kind of a interesting show. It is an Amigo special show.
Yeah, two for one.
Well, and featuring two out of three. And when you have two out of three Amigos, that ain't too bad.
That ain't too bad. I mean, it's really rare you ever get two of them.
That's right.
So and, we start out with what I think is going to be go down in the Herald as one of the best Skeptic Overlord overview shows that's ever been done, because this was really an amazing show.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we're going to end it with some questions and a little interview with Simon Gray, the original founder of AboveTopSecret.com.
So you guys hold on to your hats and get your seatbelts fastened, tray tables in their upright position, because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
Well, welcome back. We're fortunate to have with us, of course, the Amigo known as the Skeptic Overlord, a.k.a. in real life, Bill Irvin. And he is kind of suffering a little bit of a dilemma. And so as we bring him on, we'll try to find out what that might be. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Yes, you are fortunate to have me on.
Yeah, we had to come with our hat in our hand, as a matter of fact. We really appreciate it, boss, because I know this is kind of last minute, because we actually had given you a couple of weeks off, and then all of a sudden...
Party ain't heavy. And
yeah, I know.
we need a show.
I know. I know. We broke our promise, but that's because we had a Kelleher.
We don't need to go into that. Let's find out.
I know. But you know, we bounced it. I just want him to know what a trooper he is, John, for coming on here because he had
what a trooper I am.
Yeah, he hadn't planned on doing it. So anyway, we appreciate boss very much.
Well, what's up with your voice there, boss?
Well, it was a party hearty Friday night, and yes, I know it's Sunday, but it was still Mrs. Overlord and I were out at a spot where there was a good band playing, and we were there for a long time. And you know, when you got a good band going on, and you know, the music's loud, you shout, and you know, to be heard. And so here I am with still the aftermath of that evening of lots of bourbon and lots of shouting and lots of dancing. So,
well, what kind of music was it, boss?
Yeah, who is the band?
It's a local band here in Buffalo called Urban Renewal, and pretty much a mix of almost everything. They played some contemporary stuff, some a weird twist on some hip hops. I'm not sure if I would call it contemporary.
So are they a dance band as opposed to a?
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, definitely a dance band.
Okay. I mean, okay.
Yeah, they did a great job with some funky Stevie Wonder stuff. And then into some Commodores, the crap that the old farts like I, you know, well, like all three of us really.
Yeah. Thanks for dragging us in there with you. But you know, I mean, this kind of gives me a nice segue into the fact that you and Mrs. Overlord
have a life.
Thanks, John. Yeah, but in addition to having a life, you also got. I guess enjoyed or started getting involved in ballroom dancing, did you not?
Well, yes and no. We're involved in dancing, but we're dancing to have fun, not to be precise about the ballroom steps and be worried about the judges knocking off points because we're starting on the wrong beat. We're just out there to have a blast. That's all.
Well, I know I've seen you and Mrs. Overlord. We were privy to a private. Secular YouTube.
Now everyone's going to be looking for that.
Oh, what are they going to search under? You know. Anyway, really? Pretty. I mean, I was really blown away. I mean, you know, you assume everybody can dance, but I mean, you and Mrs. Overlord really looked fantastic on the dance floor. It was amazing, amazing dance. I thought.
Well, thank you. Yeah, the Friday we were all over the place. We did some jive, some swing, some cha-cha, and that's pretty much it. But still, I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on. I think there was a total of 15 songs we ended up dancing to.
Wow.
Yeah, we were toast by the end of that.
I would just like to add that the segment, the small little snippet that I got a chance to see, I was overwhelmed not only by the performance, but there was one particular move that you did that showed the confidence that you had when you took the hat off your head and just tossed it into the audience. I thought that was awesome.
Except for the guy that got hit with it, you know, he thought it was like Odd Jobs.
Yeah, how's that lawsuit coming along?
Well, it's getting better. I mean, I think he realizes that, you know, he was in the wrong spot.
So. At the wrong time. Yeah, I noticed that little connotation there. He goes, who do you think you are, Odd Job? You know, I heard him yelling across the room. But boy, now what kind of dance was that, if you don't mind me asking?
What you saw was the cha-cha.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Well, how long did it take you and Ms. Overlord to, I mean, you know, what's the process when you go to start learning to dance? I mean, did you have any desire to do this, and then y'all decided you wanted to do it, or what?
Well, it's been, actually, we've been starting, well, we've been wanting to do this for quite some time. When we used to live in Connecticut, I don't know if you're familiar with how the roads work in Connecticut, but there's no shortest distance from here to there in Connecticut. You know, that's literally, you can't get that from here is where that began. Because, it's difficult to get from point A to point B. By the crow flies, you might be 5 miles from something. But in actual driving distance, it turns out to be 25 miles and lots of traffic lights and just crazy traffic.
Right.
So, you know, there were a couple reasonably close places where we could start the process, but it was just, they were a pain to get to. So once we moved back here to Buffalo, there's a spot that's, you know, 5 minutes away. you know, straight down the main street that we live off of. So that was a blast, and we just got started. You know, group lessons and some private lessons, and boom, you just take it from there, and you start start going. It's a blast. I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys out there. I have to say that, you know, I've been in the bars. You know, I remember college life, and the girls are all out there dancing, and the guy's going,
I don't know how to dance, or I don't dance.
And, you know, they're off the sidelines, and, you know, let me tell you, once you learn just a few things, guys, the girls like it. They really, really, really like it when the guys get up there and dance with them. It's a huge benefit to know what, to even know just a little bit of what you're doing. Massive. Right.
Well, but I mean, don't you think, though, Bill? I mean, and I'm sorry, I'm hogging the intro, John, but don't you think that, you know, the climate has kind of changed about dancing and the interface between man and woman than it was, let's say, 10 years ago? I mean, aren't we kind of more leaning towards? Hasn't ballroom dancing become, kind of away from the old stigma that it had, let's say, 10 or 15 years ago?
Yeah, I suppose so. And what you see in TV is part of it. But still, the biggest problem now is really finding a place that has enough room to dance, because for so long there hasn't been that much dancing going on. So now you have to find a place where there's enough room for that.
So who was the initial prompter to do the dancing? Was it you or Mrs. Overlord?
I'd say it was mutual.
Good answer.
Really? Yeah, a really good answer, just in case Mrs. Overlord ever listens to your shows.
Well, you know, before we actually start the show, I'd just like to add that as far as dancing goes, you may or may not have heard this, but Dave and I had only one little dancing fiasco that we did, and it involved Hawaiian music and hula skirts.
That's interesting.
It was very scary.
And coconuts. I think there were coconuts, too.
You're thinking... Yeah, I think you're flashing back to the Bridge and the River Kwai and that last little get together.
No, I have the video to prove it.
Oh, that one. Oh, you're talking about that one.
I might just have to post it.
Yeah, the jib jab, the one where you always, you know, take our heads and put them on different weird bodies.
Yes.
The one I really love is the one that you did for me. Oh, I love the one. What was the one, John, that you did where I'm on a carpet with Jane Fonda and what's her name? Shirley MacLaine.
That's and it was what? to a Snoop Doggy Dog song.
Yeah, it was a rap song. Well, Bill, see, sometimes we have to entertain ourselves, you know. So John become a master at jib jab. Well, speaking about being a master at jib jab,
that sounds like a good thing.
It is, but I mean, you know, considering you've been off basically about 10 days. I said on your show a couple of weeks ago that, you know, boy, it was really a great, unbelievable weekend. But, boy, this last 7 or 8 days has really been kind of a wild, crazy ride on the site, hasn't it?
As always. And I think part of it that's coming up is the there goes the voice, the crazy anticipation of the presidential election. And now that we're down to two, well... We're down to the one candidate in each of the major parties. Yes, there's more candidates than that, but really it's down to McCain and Obama at this point. And I think everything in the political side of the discussions are realigning themselves on those two, and you're just beginning to see the beginning of what will be a crazy 4-month run as we get close to the election.
Do you think it's going to get really nasty, Bill? I mean, what's your personal opinion? Do you think it's going to get really just the Katie bar the door and everybody's just going to lay the gauntlet or what?
You've heard it here first.
Uh-oh.
I think there's going to be something that just puts to shame every other dirty trick you've ever seen in any political campaign up till now.
That's
really?
Yeah, that's my gut, too. And that's sad. I mean, I think that's a sad statement that we all kind of, well, Johnny, of course, has given me a really, so he hadn't really noncommittal on it. But, you know, I mean, just the things I see on our site just really blow me away. And
you feel it coming.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you know, you as an example, you know, started you and Mark and Steve-O and Simon this decision 2008 U.S. election in the Above Politics political forums on the homepage, the main page for AboveTopSecret.com. And, you know, just scrolling, I remember when we talked about it in Cosmic and, you know, we were all discussing the pros and the cons and whatever. And then, you know, everybody kind of did a culmination, said, yeah, you know, let's go ahead and do it, blah, 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 blah. And now, you know, it's been up, what, 10 days now? And, man, I'm telling you, I mean, there are all kinds of unbelievable threads that I wouldn't in a thousand years have believed. But it's just gotten crazy. I mean, there's one alone. There will be riots, as an example. 20,000 views almost. Right. 268 replies. So I think that really adds fuel to what you just got through saying about it's going to be a dirty, down, and gut-wrenching political battle.
And the thing that we're going to see this time is there are so many little, I don't even know what to call them. They're not really political action groups, but they're just these semi-affiliated groups that might be, you know, promoting McCain, but who, you know, sort of like the Swift Boat madness, but even worse this time, where it's somebody's coming out with just some nasty stuff on one candidate. And there may loosely be connected through party affiliations to the other candidate, you know. So it wouldn't really be coming from the party or the official campaign of one candidate. But still, you know where I'm going with this. Where there's just the shadowy connectivity of this crazy stuff coming out there, like those buttons that we saw in Texas where. It's this black button with white lettering that says, if Obama is elected, are we still going to call it the White House?
Yeah, I saw that.
And yeah, and those were connected. You know, there was, it was like Daily Chaos website connected them down to some Republican group out of Nebraska.
Right.
Through the long, twisty road of how these things end up getting where they are, who is then affiliated with loosely helping some strategies part in the Upper West with the McCain campaign.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I read one of them, but I just want to take just a couple of them and just kind of maybe we can kind of just, you know, talk about the pros and cons of how dirty. Yeah,
I didn't have a structured overview this time. I had a few topics that were popular this week. Okay. I wanted to toss out there for discussion with no prior preparation. So
okay, do you want to stay on this one for a minute, and then we'll go to yours, or part of them in the politics?
Let's keep the flow. You've already headed us. You've already pointed us down this path.
Okay. Well, I mean, all right. Let me ask both of you a question, Johnny. I'll ask you just to pull you into this discussion. I mean, do you think that we're looking at, and I'm not talking about as far as the way the thing played out in the Nixon era, but do you think we're looking, Johnny, just your personal opinion on what you've seen on the site and also in mainstream media, do you think we're looking at a scenario to where we're going to have such dirty tactics as Nixon did in the Watergate scenario?
You know what? I think that with every election, I think that the factor of tricks and sensationalized events and scenarios and even promotions and commercials seem to be getting stronger and, in my opinion, worse because we live in a sensationalized world that we almost feel like if there is no shock treatment hitting us straight in the face, then it's an ineffective little bit that they're throwing at us. So
Bill?
I guess to answer your question, yes.
All right, Bill, what's your take?
Well, yeah, that's a really good point from Johnny. But then again, compared to some of the stuff we've seen recently, it makes the Nixon Watergate dirty tricks seem like, you know, a walk in the park.
Yeah.
Have you seen that HBO movie Recount?
I haven't watched it, but I want to.
Yeah, I do too.
You must.
Is it great?
It's very good. And what it shows. And, you know, there are some people that feel that it does have a bit of a democratic slant, but that's only because it's more telling the story from the point of view of two people involved in the Democratic side of the campaign. But what it ends up showing in the Florida recount is how both sides were clearly doing some not necessarily dirty tricks from their point of view, but playing rough, playing the game rough, and thinking that they were being absolutely correct.
Right.
And it shows that what we've come to is that both sides of the political spectrum are looking at this as a game that's to be played.
Yeah.
This isn't an election that's important that the people are choosing their leader. It's a political game that's being played. And they don't really care what the people want. They care that their side wins. And that puts a completely different spin on the motivations of the people behind the scenes that are trying to manipulate the spin that gets into the news.
Yeah, who can outdo the other one better?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's become a one-upmanship game rather than, you know, here's the facts and this is where I stand on these issues. I mean, it's become who can outthink and who can outdo and who can outscrew each other, I think.
And who can out-soundbite and who can twist the other person's words. I mean, if you think back to the last campaign where Bush was making such a big deal about Kerry flip-flopping. Well, Mike, I haven't seen anybody that fits more into the category of flip-flopper than McCain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And where's the brouhaha over him flip-flopping?
Sure.
I mean, you see him flip-flop on a weekly basis on the same thing.
Well, and speaking of McCain, yeah, I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
I was just going to say, isn't this also the first time, and I've been scratching my brain on this before I asked this, and I still came up null on it, so I'm going to just ask you guys, isn't this the first time that we may have had a White House press secretary release a book before the end of a presidency? And yeah. If so, what might that agenda be in itself?
Right.
And from what I hear, it's a scathing book. That's on my list of things I must do to read. I was startled to see that came out so soon before the presidency was up.
And then here we already have some type of congressional hearing going on, you know, and pretty much they haven't really done anything from what I've watched, the snippets or so. But from the way some of the media made it out, this was going to be the new Watergate.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about that thing, I think, that really kind of aggravates me, and, you know, I'm no Bush, you know, guy at all, never have been, never will be. But, you know, I think that's kind of really weird that somebody's press secretary, before their year's out, you know, comes out with all this stuff and resigns and, you know, whatever. And I understand, you know, his assertion is that it's not about selling his book. His assertion is about, you know, he couldn't play the man's game anymore. But, I mean, come on. I mean, this guy stood up there and bold-faced lied, you know, to the American public and to the press, you know, every time he turned around. I mean, spinning his own version of what he thought, you know, needed to be said to put out any fires. And now the guy's coming out with all this stuff. And here again, if I, you know, I'm not a book reader, but this is something I wouldn't mind reading.
The Cliff Notes on?
Yeah, if they have it, if Cliff Notes has Cliff Notes. All right, well, you know, Bill was talking about McCain. I want to just kind of go back to
I just want to go back a little bit on what you're saying about Bush. One of the things that got lost in the sauce and all the news in early June is if you remember the Senate report on intelligence, and the intelligence flaws that led up to the Iraq War. I mean, this report flat out said that President Bush and Dick Cheney lied to the nation about the reasons for war in Iraq, and the mainstream media barely covered this. I think the only news station that mentioned this report, and this was on the Daily Show, which is a great news summary. A few days after this happened, only I think it was CBS News covered this just to mention that there were some flaws in the intelligence report leading up to the war in Iraq. Not really getting into the nitty gritty that Bush and Cheney lied. And yet when Kucinich used that as one of the major reasons for his articles of impeachment, he's just lambasted by the media for what he tried to do, bringing his articles of impeachment. Yet the Republicans brought up articles of impeachment essentially for Clinton lying about a blowjob, and Bush is lying about going to war, and they're resisting the impeachment. It's just crazy.
It's absolutely nuts. Yeah, it is absolutely nuts. In fact, I was scrolling as we were talking because there is somewhere on the AboveTopSecret.com website, there is a some kind of thread where they're talking about them being liars and stuff. And there's a YouTube thing that they refer to. It was on this, it was like up at the top, on the very top of the board, like yesterday, I think. And I looked at that thing, and it's amazing because they're taking actually snippets of everything that that Cheney said 1 minute, and then they show another interview with him where he's got completely contradicted himself. And Bush, they're doing the same thing. And I mean, you sit there and watch it. It's about a 6 or 7 minute thing if you're lucky enough to search it on the site. You could probably search it under probably Cheney and Bush or lies or something. But it's a pretty amazing little collage because you actually see them making unequivocal statements about a position, and then the very next thing they show is, a month later or 2 months later or whatever, they're having a confrontation with the press, and they're saying, I never said that, and then they show the video of where they did say that, where they're countering themselves. How can they possibly not see that they're really, from a public relations standpoint, they're really screwing things up here?
But they're getting away with it, aren't they?
They are getting away with it, and that's what just blows me away.
And they're just doing it with and giggles grins. Sorry for the non-FCC compliant comment there, but it just fits. That's the attitude they have, is they don't care because they're getting away with it, so they're still going
to
do it.
Well, back to the 2008 discussion forum, which is pretty amazing. If you, any of the members or guests haven't been there yet, it's got a bunch of things. But here's an example. We were talking about McCain and talking about how people are really digging down, and of course, a lot of these thread topic names, they're taken straight from mainstream media articles and whatever, starting conversations, aren't they? To a degree, a lot of them. And yeah. I mean, some of them are baiting. I'm sure some of them are baiting. But here's one. Cindy McCain, drug addict, thief. 3,000 views.
Actually, that is true.
Is it really?
Yes. She was a drug addict for about 3 years. And she ran a I don't think she ran a charity, but she was on the board or chairman of a charity that was getting drugs to third world countries. And she was addicted to a number of painkillers and a couple other things. And she was skimming off the top the drugs that were intended for poor people in third world countries for herself.
Wow.
Wow.
That's true. That is true.
That really blows me away because I thought, well, here's somebody trying to bait the site, and all of a sudden I'm finding out that this stuff is true. I mean, that really blows me away.
Right. And I mean, the rumors of... what's Obama's wife's name?
Mrs.
Very good. See, we should know this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wait a minute. I can Google it real fast.
But the rumors of her using the derogatory term whitey. I mean, those are still just rumors and have been unsubstantiated. But how often have you heard references to that by the right side of the media as if it actually happened?
Oh yeah.
And then, but here we have McCain's wife, who really was a drug addict, and who really was essentially stealing needed medication from intended for third world countries for herself. And that charity, since that was discovered about what was going on with the nonprofit that she was involved with, it was shut down. The main reason it was shut down was her what she was doing with it.
Right. Well, I noticed. Just kind of going through here, and obviously these are the ones that have just been up here since, middle of June, I guess. So we're only talking about several days. But, I mean, most of these are getting consistent hits and consistent updates and consistent replies.
Like the one about Barack Obama will declare Sharia law in the United States if elected?
Yes, that one. That one. But and I'm not saying almost all of them because there's four pages full and it's got just about everybody. But on this very top page, There's a few of McCain's, but a lot of these are Obama related.
Yeah, the floodgates are open, and I think we have a combination of things, or a confluence, if you will, where on one side we have the Republicans looking to discredit him, or maybe not so much Republicans. I would say conservatives,
right,
looking to discredit him at all cost, and then you have people that may be conservative, may not be, but they just are scared of a black man that could be president, also looking to discredit him.
Right.
I mean, how often have you seen the interviews on network news of these people in this, especially the South, and in some portions of the Midwest, who simply seem just so out of touch with reality that they still think he's a Muslim. They still think, well, I don't know if I want a black man to be president just because he's black.
Right.
And there's an unfortunate amount of that still exists in the United States. And we're just going to see a crazy amount of that over the next few months. And like we talked about earlier, it's just going to get ugly. It's going to get bad. And it's only starting. I mean, we're just starting to smell the fact that there might be an iceberg over the horizon. We haven't even seen the tip of it yet.
Right. No, I know.
You talking about...
That's going to make it interesting. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Dave. You talking, Bill, about people being scared of Barack and that something smells. I'll tell you something that we should be scared about and that definitely, I think, in my opinion, something smells. And that's this guy, Karl Rove. There is a guy that's scary, man. How is it that this guy has been able to stick around in all these different presidencies? You've heard the rumor that he's working behind Barack also, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the only reason someone like that is behind the scenes pulling the strings as effectively and as long as he's been doing is he's got stuff on people. Yeah, you can't go after him, because if you do, he's got something on you.
Right.
And that's the nature of someone like that, and that's how he's able to survive and do what he does so effectively.
Can I say one word?
Yes.
Michelle.
Yes. Oh, Piper. Yes.
it could be, but I think Michelle Obama, Michelle is Barack's wife's name.
It's Dave Googling Rabbit.
Yeah, you guys taught me how to do it a year ago, and I just, I'm having so much fun with it. Yeah, Michelle Obama. Michelle, we apologize. I know you and Barack are big fans of the show, so we really apologize that we couldn't figure out what your name was. So anyway, you ready to start your show, boss?
Yeah, now that we've got this little foreplay out of the way.
Yeah, now that we've killed some time to help fill the gap, boss, you ready to do your show?
Sure. Well, I just want to toss out a couple threads that got that came up within the Pop 10. Pop 10.
Pop,
yeah, I love 10. The Pop 10.
Is it like Pop Tart?
Yeah, it's the...
And I'm Casey Kasem.
Shouldn't have had that fourth bourbon before I started the show.
Talking to me.
America's Top 40.
Sonny and Cher. Here we go.
Anyway, you certainly knew what I meant.
It's I do know what you meant.
The 10 most popular threads.
All right.
So
this we almost need a drum roll, don't we?
That's a great time.
Bartender!
A lot of fun. So I just want to toss this out to discussion. I'm going to read how this thread started and throw this out there. It was posted on June 19th by member Eric 52081. I'm sure that has some significance to him.
Let's hope it's not his phone number.
Yeah.
290 replies, and from what I read, the replies in this thread are just all over the map, as you can imagine. The thread is titled "Rush Limbaugh Compares Katrina Victims to Iowa Victims." I don't know if you noticed this, but Limbaugh started out by saying in his radio show, and Eric quoted, "I want to know. I look at Iowa. I look at Illinois. I want to see the murders. I want to see the looting. I want to see all the stuff that happened in New Orleans. I see devastation in Iowa and Illinois. Right. That dwarves what happens in New Orleans. I see people working together. I see people trying to save their property. I don't see a bunch of people running around waving guns at helicopters. I don't see a bunch of people running and shooting at cops. I don't see a bunch of people raping people on the street. I don't see a bunch of people doing everything they can, whining and moaning, where's FEMA, where's Bush? I see the heartland of America. When I look at Iowa and when I look at Illinois, I see the backbone of America. Now, hold on here.
Wow.
I had thought it was pretty widely dispersed in a number of news stories that most of the sensationalization that was talked about in New Orleans was false. They were rumors.
Right.
There weren't any rapes in the St. Louis
Superdome.
There wasn't anything going that. There weren't all that many murders. There actually weren't as much looting after the fact that was reported in the news. So why is Limbaugh going on and trying to drudge up and put some credibility to things that were essentially rumor about New Orleans?
Right.
Guys,
because sensationalism sells.
Well, there you go. We're back to that, aren't we?
I'm sorry, Dave, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Whole, getting back to my original comment with the sensationalism, I can't believe that we as a society have allowed ourselves to let people like Rupert Murdoch and some of the other large corporations purchase media. There should be almost like a separation of church and state when it comes to the news, because it has become so damn biased. And I'll step off the soapbox because it would be a long rant. But yeah, it's sensationalism. That's your Hannity, your O'Reilly. You know, you don't hear any real news unless it might benefit their party, whether it be Democratic or Republican.
Or they're arbitrine, or they're whatever that exactly. other book is. Yeah,
news is entertainment,
right?
Yes,
and money. And money. Let's don't forget the bottom line, the dollar sign.
The advertisers.
That's exactly it. What's happening is in the major networks, whether it's Fox or MSNBC, you know, they know the audience they cater to, and they design the information they talk about on the news to that audience so that they continue to perform well in the ratings, so that they continue to get decent dollars for every second of advertising space that's available on the network. I mean, it's entertainment now. It's not a delivery of information. It's a delivery of entertainment.
It'd be interesting to hear what Walter Cronkite had to say.
Oh, boy. I think he's it would be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, now, who was the guy? Now, speaking of the political arena, because, I mean, you guys have pretty much covered that, so I'll fall in line with you guys on that one. But, you know, the guy that took – I just saw it on the internet, and I can't find it now as I'm scrambling and Googling. But who was the guy that just recently died? I don't remember
Tim
his
Russert.
Name. Yeah. Who took over came out of retirement? Was it Brokaw?
Brokaw. Tom Brokaw, yeah.
And I just saw that, you know, that he's going to do it through the elections, I guess, through November, and then going to make a decision of whether he becomes a permanent placement of that. And obviously he was friends with Russert. And I'm sure that has a lot to do with it, and he was friends of the family or whatever. But, you know, there was an interesting thing on this article, and it talked about how NBC was making something like $80 million off of that Sunday show. It was number one, and I know that Stephanopoulos is number two on the ABC version. But it's $80 million income show, so they were really thankful that Tom Brokaw decided to jump in there, a known name, you know, a known respected journalist, you know, to take over the helm of that thing from a monetary standpoint. You know, I mean, it just screamed at me with, you know, they were really happy from a monetary standpoint rather than, you know, having someone that may have somewhat of a even keel, even balanced opinion about things.
It was a proud day for GE.
Yeah.
There you go. But actually, if you want to back up a little bit, I mean, that shows you. I mean, Tim Russert, he didn't pull too many punches.
Right.
When he saw an opening, he jumped at it with all guns blazing.
Sure.
And actually on all sides of the fence, he really seemed not to play favorites. And a little bit of a disclaimer, I tend to like him cuz he's a Buffalo native. He was born and raised in Buffalo for people that don't know that. So it hit this area pretty hard when he passed away. So it's interesting to see that a show of that nature that really does deal with hard issues, and goes after them with gusto can be profitable.
Right.
And it just seems as though, you know, that it's so rare that people try hard to make that formula work in entertain news. I'm not going to call it news, not going to call it entertainment, but entertaining news, or if you want to guess, that, you know, we're not seeing it in the network news. We're not seeing it in the other shows, especially cable news. I mean, that's just, it almost seems like that's a wasteland anymore. What passes for airtime filler on cable news is just pathetic. Mm. So it's sad to see Tim go. I met him about 15 years ago when he was still working. Actually, could have been longer ago when he was still working for Patrick Moynihan. Really nice guy, and it's terrible to see someone who was indeed one of the good guys who's no.
Yeah, and he always seemed level-headed, you know. And I was not a huge Meet the Press fan. But I did it, you know, on a Sunday morning before, you know, during football season. I would watch Meet the Press before, you know, they do the pregame or whatever in Dallas. And a lot of his stances, I thought, were pretty even keel. He, you know, I mean, I'm sure he had his likes and dislikes on political parties or whatever. But I mean, he didn't come across as, you know, you said guns a blazing, but he didn't come across as disrespectful guns a blazing.
Oh no, absolutely. I mean, he definitely went, yes, in a respectful way. He knew who he was dealing with, and he I think he caught a lot of people by surprise by his demeanor, where he went at you hard, but you weren't really sure, because he was came across also as such a nice guy.
Yeah, and that's the thing I think that made him so good, and obviously he's going to be missed. Before you get to your next one, I guess going to remind the members that I found finally the thing I was talking about the video that shows all the different statements that Bush and Cheney made, and then the other things that they put. And it's in the Hot Topics. If you'll go up to the top of the board at AboveTopSecret.com and click on Hot and scroll down, you will see it says Video Banned. How to Create an Angry American is the name of the thread. How to Create an Angry American. And it's, you know, didn't have a huge lot of replies, 70, but it was really viewed tremendously. So anyway, all right, Bill, what's your other one?
Well, I'm just going to touch on one other thing, and apparently, unfortunately rather, this gets into some scary territory for many of us. The thread author is Behind the Scenes, 174 replies, 58 flags. And it's titled Global Economic Crash Late July.
Right.
And he starts out, when mainstream economists begin to sound like the average AboveTopSecret.com contributor, then you know we're headed for hell. The word is out and it's dire. Think the worst is over for the credit crunch? No way. Think we're in as deep a recession as we're going to get? Ha. That was just the preamble.
Yeah.
The chief economist at the Royal Bank of Scotland has translated it another way. By the end of summer, we'll be in a full-blown Great Depression number two. And another thing to back this up, what he talks about in this thread, have either of you heard of the economic term, the Hindenburg omen?
Yes.
Well, there has been three Hindenburg omens in the past 6 months.
Really? What are those?
What it is it's a technical term that predicts a stock market crash of one degree or another. It's named after, obviously, the Hindenburg disaster.
Right, which crashed and burned, yeah.
Right, and it's the result of a rather complex formula that watches a number of factors on the stock market, mostly the New York Stock Exchange, but it also does recently factor in some commodities data as well. And what it does is, when there's a Hindenburg omen, that means there is a high probability of some loss, some downside activity in the stock market coming soon. When there's a second Hindenburg omen, that tends to mean that that loss will be significant. When there's a third Hindenburg omen, the potential loss now starts to be in the catastrophic category.
Jeez.
And this is not just someone's prediction. This is the result of a formula that has been correct by to a degree of 82% since over the past 60 years in predicting some degree of downside activity in the stock market.
Wow.
So, yes, that tends to put a chill down your spine when you think about where things are headed. And it does seem like we're in hell in a handbasket.
Oh, yeah.
With what's happening in the financial markets and the price of oil, the price of food, and now how the flooding in the core areas of this country, the breadbasket is going to further affect the price of grain, and it's also damaging commerce. There's over 300 barges in the last bit of news that can't get north on the Mississippi right now, and you know, while 300 barges may not seem like a big deal, one barge I think carries the equivalent of 120 semi trucks, tractor trailers.
Oh yeah, right.
So that's a lot of stuff.
I tell you what scares me, and I mean, John, I'd love to hear your opinion from the California people. I don't know where to begin, because what really scares me, it's not just the oil thing, although that really scares the bejesus out of me. And I saw on the internet today that they're trying to get Saudi Arabia to increase the amount of production that they're doing. And I'm thinking, in my initial reaction to it is, I guess my knee-jerk reaction to it is that I'm going, oh, well, great, that'll help us down, half us away. And then I get to kind of analyzing it in the Dave Rabbit mentality, and I'm going, well, that may be a Band-Aid, but that's not going to solve our problem. Our problem is that we are a oil-dependent society. We saw the signs years ago that this was coming, and everybody ignored it and just said, well, we're not going to worry about it. It's kind of like the smoking scenario for me when I was a kid and smoking. And just the very faint, you're going to get cancer if you don't quit smoking. This is back in 66 when I started smoking. And my mentality at the time was, well, hell, by the time I get cancer, they'll have a cure. Well, here we are. Of course, I've long since quit, but here we are, 40-something years later, and, they don't have a cure for cancer. So I think everybody kind of looked at the oil scenario and we're not going to worry about it now. And now everybody's scrambling for electric cars. Everybody's scrambling for, the H2O cars and whatever. And I really I have to agree with you, Bill. I don't know about the Hindenburg. I don't understand that particular scenario thing, but I do understand that we're going to be up a creek without a paddle. And I mean, it's coming quick, because everybody waited until it was too late to start, building enough arcs. what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, essentially that's where it is. And just recently Ford realized, well, we better stop building all them big pickup trucks and start focusing more on fuel-efficient cars. Well, it was 3 or 4 years ago when we realized, oil prices are just going to keep going up. And this just feels so much like the 70s all over again. And I know you guys lived through that as well.
Yes. In fact, some people that didn't live through the 70s, when we had the gas rationing scenario.
Odd and even days.
Yeah, odd and even days. And I remember those lines. And I mean, and of course, people that weren't in that, didn't crumb up in that area, they have no clue. But I guarantee you could probably Google all rationing or whatever and probably find what it was. But I remember lines in Dallas that, honest to God, that were literally several blocks long, and that was just to – and I didn't they limit the amount of gas you could get back then, too? It seems like it did.
10 gallons, yeah.
I think you're right. I think it was 10 gallons. Yeah, and I mean, I remember going getting there early to get to work on time and, literally be there for an hour waiting to get my turn at 10 gallons of gas. And how long did that last? You guys remember? I don't remember. What was it, a couple of months?
Oh,
something like that?
It lasted longer than that.
Was it longer than that? Okay.
It was almost an entire year.
Yeah, it seems to me that it was almost like 11 months long. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. But, if it gets to that, I guarantee – I said this a couple of shows ago when we were talking to you, Bill. But thank God some cities decided that they were going to go with mass transit, okay? Dallas, you know, has a rail system now, kind of like John has out in California. I don't know if you guys have it up in – I know you have it up in New York area. I'm not sure about the Buffalo area. But, you know, I mean, thank God for that, because if you didn't have that, we would really be up a creek without a paddle, you know?
Because there's really not that many areas where that's an option.
Well, I understand that. I mean, especially – well, the rule, especially.
Yeah. And it's it is difficult. There's a lot of people. If you look at all of the jobs that make up the complex economy we have, there's a lot of people that go to work at small businesses or go to work at Walmart or grocery stores, if you will. They can't carpool because there's not a lot of people in their area that would go to work there. And they may drive 5 miles. That's not that big of a distance. Yeah, in the 70s, using up the amount of gas to drive that much, when it was, 45, when we were crying over 45 cents a gallon back then. Jesus.
Right. Yeah, really. Oh, yeah.
And now it's, in some areas it's getting close to $5 a gallon. Mm-hmm. Well, yep. that's a big deal for a working family trying to make ends meet, and just that much gas to get to work. I mean, it's almost as if it costs almost as much to get to work as it does the big chunk they take out for your health insurance now too.
Yeah,
it's right. Just another big chunk that comes off the top.
Yeah, and health insurance has gotten to be a rip too. Well, before we got about four questions that we want to ask you that we had left over. Bill, we really appreciate you giving us an extended amount of time this evening. I know it's kind of a rough deal. But before we jump off of the skeptic overview thing, I want to remind everybody that, I mentioned that if you click at the top of the board where it says hot, it will take you to that video. But, also if you click on the other tab that says top, the top one's going to give you the ones that have the 20 or more flags for the previous 7 days. And if you're really wanting to know what's really hot and what's the top thing going on AboveTopSecret.com, if you'll go to those two tabs and click on those, you're going to find just an abundance of things that are going to be really, really, really fun, really, really, really important, and really, really, really informative, and I think you're going to enjoy that.
And I think I would just like to really, really, really add that if you really, really, really would like to ask the Skeptic Overlord a really, really, really good question, we have a really, really, really good spot for you to do that for. It's located in the ATAS Mix Arena, and it's entitled Ask the Overlord. And at this time, we would like to really, 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 really encourage you to go there and post a question so that Dave and I can really, really, really have some time to fill with Bill.
Okay, I got the point. I said it too many times. All right, well, we still... smart ass. Well, we still don't
have... I really, really, really am.
You really, really, really are. We don't have any new questions in the typical, but we have four left over from the Cosmic Moderator segment. And one of them, Bill, says, and this is from an anonymous mod, obviously.
Yeah, we're going to stay anonymous with them just to protect their identity and secure their job.
That's right. And this first one says... And it's got two lines, so let me finish reading it, and then you can respond to this clown. Sorry. Any news on the new forums, like the I Am Alien, Hear Me Roar, Time Traveler, Government Insider, etc. forum, or Requested Philosophy forum?
Well, I think we did put up the philosophy forum, right? That's.
I believe it is up.
Are you thinking of any other forums? Any other forums? Your questions. We were thinking of a forum that would be sort of an offshoot or taking some of the heat off of the Skunk Works and the aliens and UFOs that would sort of fill in the blanks. I am blank and I saw blank type of forum, where people could relate their personal story if they believe that they're either an alien or they're in touch with aliens, or if they're some kind of deep, dark government whistleblower or know someone who's a deep, dark government whistleblower or a mouthpiece for a deep, dark government whistleblower or any of the above blanks that could be filled in that would be similar to that. We definitely get a lot of those, and we were thinking for a time that maybe there should be one dedicated forum for I am a blank from blank, and I say blank type of stuff.
Oh, so that's where the I am alien time traveler right, government right.
Inside. And remember, if you are going to blank with an alien, make sure that they're blanking 18 or older.
That's right.
Yes. But if you're time traveling,
yes, then that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then what you do is you blank them at one age, and then you time travel with them, and that way they're legal when it comes that's time right. for court, right?
That's how you can work that out. That's right.
I don't know. This went south. All right, John, you got one?
I blank and sure do.
Okay, good.
Why the hell? Oh, boy. Yes, and thanks, Dave. I end up again with a cheesy question.
I know. I intentionally did that.
Excuse me. Why the hell, Bill, do you guys choose those cheesy avatars when your old ones were so much more expressive?
These are more corporate, you know, and now we're corporate, you know, we're bona fide, and that's how we need to come across.
Well, you know, we did kind of, I mean, I do think that your skeptic overlord, the man in tights thing was kind of clever. Yeah. Yeah. I know you kind of missed that too. Okay. Do you regret, any part of the policy decisions that have been taken by, ATS?
No.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun!
Okay, John.
Yeah, enough said on that one.
Yeah, bring us home.
Yeah. If you had it to do all over, Mr. Irvin, what would you like to see fundamentally changed about the website?
Uh-oh.
Every little bit and piece of code. I mean, it's a cobbled together nightmare of stuff that's pieced together by myself and sometimes fixed by myself, and it's a mishmash of still code that I put together while I was still learning the specific way that ATS was built, like maybe 4 years ago, combined with some new stuff that I've just done recently where I'm much better at it, and everything else in between. And yeah, if I had it to do differently, sure, it'd be great to hire somebody that knew what the hell they were doing to get it all done right in the first place, but we just didn't have the money for that.
Mm-hmm. But didn't you originally, I mean, when you first got involved, it seems to me, I remember this in the original interview I did with you guys before I became involved with the ATS Mix and the site and everything. But didn't you originally tell me at one time that when you really became involved, and of course you had expertise in the programming part of the thing, that it's really just been a migration of bringing it from one era of programming to what we have today?
It's migration is probably a word that describes the full spectrum, but you know, there's been maybe more falling off of cliffs. You know, because, you know, when animals migrate, they do fall off a few cliffs as well, and, you know, stumble into gullies and ravines. So there's been a lot of stumbles and mistakes in the code. For instance, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was one thing that was incredibly popular, and it still would be nice to have it. We had a conspiracy meter on the top of the website. Do you remember that at all?
I do remember that.
I don't. Tell me, yeah. What was a conspiracy meter?
It was like a giant mood ring for ATS. And based on, it was a rather complex thing, based on the number of views and the number of replies in certain forums, it would go from, you know, pretty serene to paranoid, essentially, as to the attitude of people participating and visiting ATS. And it was a lot of fun. It took some effort to program it and to figure out the formula, but it was very cool. It was a real-time thing. And some days, depending on what's in the news, this thing would be pegged near paranoid. And during times where there's really not much going on, it would hover down near serene. And it was a lot of fun to see how that thing would change depending on the different topics that crop up and become popular in different forums. The reason we don't have it is that was a relatively top-heavy bit of code. That was maybe 3 or 4 years ago we had that. The kind of traffic we have now, yeah, we'd need one, maybe two dedicated servers just to calculate that kind of thing for the amount of traffic that's coming to ATS.
Wow. Hmm.
So those kinds of things that were great and fun features for the members of ATS, are just impossible to deploy on a site that gets the kind of traffic that we get now, just because of the how much code and how much database work was involved in tracking it and maintaining it and keeping it updated.
Wow. Well, listen, boss, we really appreciate you coming in at the last moment, and I think a pretty entertaining show. We talked a lot about politics, which is which we the three of us really haven't really discussed a lot of politics.
Yeah, it really, really, really was entertaining.
It really, really, really was.
Oh, knock it off. Anyway,
and I'm glad your blanking voice stuck with us for a really, really long time.
Blank you, Johnny. Anyway, if you want to ask our blanking boss any blanking questions, please go to the blanking ATS mix area, go to information, and go to the Ask the Skeptic Overlord, and be sure and post your question, because we're out of questions to ask him. And of course, the cosmic moderators, the mod squad, we ask all theirs. So,
and anyway, we also boss, have a toll free phone number for our friends in the United States and also Canada.
1-877-417-2204
No, the number is 1-877-417-2204
Oh, but that's isn't that kind of like the 877-417-2204 number?
Only if you add a 1 in front of it. And you know, one is the loneliest number.
And that's also Canada, United States, right?
I believe that might be serving our really, really, really good friends on the blank another side of the border.
All right. Well, Bill, listen. you mean me? That's an old line from
this Sunday turned out to be a weird segment.
Weird segment. Hell, this is a weird interview.
I like it, though.
I like it, too. Yeah, well, maybe we'll have to just do we'll call it our Let Our Hair Down Skeptic Overlord special. All right. Anyway,
I got the perfect name for it. I got the perfect name for it. Sheer Ecstasy.
Oh, there you go. Flashing back to the 60s. Okay, boss, we're going to let you go. Thanks, and have a great evening. Give Mrs. Overlord our love, okay?
Oh, I certainly will.
All right, thanks, boss.
And there you have it.
And there you be, and there you was. And we'll have another amigo coming up right after this.
In the beginning, there was
Simon Gray. Now coming to us and you via British satellite borrowed from the Secret Service. Communicating from his bunker somewhere in the UK.
Started my first website back in 1996.
From there, it just grew.
It's the original gangster of AboveTopSecret.com.
Definitely agree with you.
Simon Gray. Now with permission from Her Majesty's Secret Service and the Queen. ATS Mix presents Simon Says. Oops, Simon didn't say, did he? Now Simon Says, start the show. Dave and Johnny.
And if you folks did not get a chance to hear last week's show, might I suggest that you immediately run down to your favorite ATS Mix store and download it. It's free for the taking. And you'll That's be able right. to catch up on exactly what was asked of Simon, the original founder of AboveTopSecret.com. And again, through technology, we've connected over to the UK to talk to the original founder, Mr. Simon Gray. Hi, Simon. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing very good. Well, how are you guys doing?
Well, thanks for coming back this this next week with us, because I know you got a lot going over there in the United Kingdom, and we really appreciate your time, especially since we have to call you at 10 o'clock now your time?
Yeah, it's 10 p.m. my time, but no, it's no problem at all. I mean, I'm always quite busy, and I never get the chance to get involved with the podcast shows as much as I would like, so no, it's a pleasure.
All right, well, great. All right, well, let's get into it. The members, they really reacted great to the first show that we did with you, and we're going to continue on with the member questions, and this is going to be by member Antar. It says, hi, Simon, just wanted to support your interview and ask a question, also give a suggestion. Her question is, why do we hardly ever see you on the forum?
Well, this is—I mean, it's a bit twofold, really. One is I'm quite busy in my my day life, as well as ATS. I also work full time as well, so that obviously takes up quite a few hours. But I mean, despite the fact I don't post, I do spend a lot of time on the forums, like I mentioned in the first show I did with Dave and Johnny. I spent so long writing on the forums and creating articles, I do find it quite enjoyable just to sit back and read what everyone else has to say and read all the new stuff which other people are coming out with. There's some really good articles, and I mean, I'm quite happy just to lurk in the quietness and see what else is going on.
Now, she has a suggestion, and it's kind of an interesting suggestion. She says, I, for one, would love to see an owner's forum where you could bring to light some of the information that you have to share. Now, I know we have the board business forum, but an owner's forum to where it's just, you know, all the owners are there and people can go in there and just talk directly. Kind of like, let me speak to the manager. What do you think about an owner's forum?
I mean, I guess it's something we could look into. I mean, I honestly didn't think people want to spend too much time talking to us. They want to get on there and talk about conspiracy theories and alternative topics. And I mean, why the hell would anyone want to talk to me?
Well,
we got a lot of people here, don't we? I mean,
well,
I'm just a 26-year-old British guy on the other side of the world. I mean, I haven't seen any UFOs or aliens that I know of. I mean,
but there has been a Natalie Portman sighting.
Yes, and we're going there immediately.
There is another member, and of course, if you folks have been paying attention here, you'll know that last week we had a question asked if ATS was associated at all with a COINTELPRO type organization, and this question kind of leans towards that way. And I don't understand part of this question, but I'm going to go ahead and answer it. It's by Yankee Rose. He says, Simon, my question is, are you also known as Christian Bailey, and how are you connected to the Lincoln Group?
The answer to both of those questions is, no, and what was the group?
Lincoln Group. I'd never heard of it unless it must be maybe it's some Illuminati group or something. I don't know, like the Bilderbergers or something. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly. No, certainly not. I have no idea who Christian Bailey is or the Lincoln Group. So no, sorry, just a normal British guy.
Before we get off the Bilderbergers and I ask the next question, you know that they just opened up a new hamburger joint here in Dallas called Build a Burger. I swear to God. You go in there, and I don't know the concept over there in the United Kingdom, Simon, but you go in there and you actually cook your own food. They have all the fixings there, and you know, you build your own burger, basically. And I'm thinking, why would you want to go to a restaurant and do that when you can do that at your own home? But, you know, they have, like, you know, girls on flying trapezes and stuff. And so I guess maybe that's kind of the part of the
Oh, they must be making money somewhere.
Somehow. I don't know. Ain't on the burgers. Okay, the secret web. Now, this is an interesting question. And it really kind of goes to what you said in an answer that you did about, you know, your time and how drawn you are. But the Secret Web wants to know, do you feel, Simon, that the rise and massive success of Above Top Secret has infringed on your private or personal life in ways that you wish it had not?
Yeah, I remember reading this question on the board, and I'm actually quite annoyed to have to say it has infringed on my personal life in a way that I wish it hadn't. I mean, because of this whole COINTELPRO nonsense, which keeps arising every now and again, we did have one occasion where this kooky website took it upon themselves to really dig deep and try and come up with non-existent information and make us look like idiots, basically. And when I first registered the web address, abovetopsecret.com, it had my old personal address. And as, well, I think quite a few people know nowadays anyway, that I'm only 26. I was about 14, well, I was probably about 15 when I started ATS. And the registered address was my parents' house. And so some kook decided to actually get out on the road and start photographing my house and the street and, you know, just really spreading a whole lot of lies. So it did invade my personal privacy, and for that I am a bit disappointed. I think people would be a bit more intelligent and more respectful.
Right.
Yeah.
Page two, Sky Floating is the member. He says, hello, Simon. My question is this. What have you been up to? I never see you posting on the board. Or do you have a sock puppet?
I love sock puppets. I love sock puppets.
Yeah, well, no, I don't have a sock puppet. Quite simply, I do spend a lot of time on the board when I have the opportunity. I'm on every single day. I just tend to read as opposed to post. So I guess you could call me one of the quiet lurkers nowadays.
Well, member Skipper 1975, I mean, we've pretty much answered this, but I'm going to go ahead and mention his name anyway. His question was, how can we get more people to join? I think you've pretty much already answered that. So I'm going to go, and then the next member, D Amigo, says, how do I buy ATS shares and where? Cheers and thanks. So I think that we'll go with that one since that one hadn't really been addressed. Is there ever going to be a time to where stock in the AboveTopSecret.com and the Above Network LLC are going to be available for the general public to buy. Have you heard one way or the other?
I mean, it's something which would be certainly a business route we'd like to take. I mean, but again, it all depends on the success of the Above Network and AboveTopSecret.com. Obviously, we announced some time ago that we were looking for venture capital investment, so that in itself is a way for people to buy into a company. And, I mean, it makes perfect sense for a website of our nature to allow our members to actually own a part of the website. So, I mean, if ATS keeps getting better and better, and as a business we grow and reach a stage where we can go public and people can buy stock, then who knows? I'm all for it. We'll just have to wait and see how big ATS gets.
Yeah, and believe it or not, Dave and I are really looking forward to that time.
Yeah, we really are.
A member by the name of Zoo Plankton, I'm assuming that's how you pronounce your name. By the way, if Dave and I mispronounce your guys' names, we apologize. Yeah,
yeah, tough.
The question is this. Simon, thanks again for creating such a great site, and kudos for the great idea. My question is this. As a ATS SETI member currently helping crunch away data from SETI, do you believe that SETI has not found the anomalous signals that they have been looking for? I remember seeing some time ago some SETI convention footage where the speaker announced that they had found some unique and anomalous signals.
I didn't actually see that article. I mean, I remember I was the one who first created the SETI ATS group, and I mean, I did it myself. I never actually found anything. On the few occasions where people did find signals which were outside the boundaries of just random noise in space, I think they tended to turn out to be just static or some kind of interference. I haven't actually heard of this event, but perhaps that in itself was just a misinterpretation and, turned out to be nothing as well. But if in terms of whether we'll actually find any signals, I guess the people out on the web will just have to keep on, cranking out the numbers and letting their programs run and hope for the best.
Right. Now, here's one from a newbie member by the name of Springer. And this little noob says, hey, did you pinch my Valentino shirt in New York on the last November, Simon? Seriously, I haven't seen it since. It'd be cool with me as long as you send me a pair of those shoes that you had on that I rave so much about. Signed, Springinator.
I mean, just from that, you can tell how drunk he must have been.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that Valentino shirt probably came off. He was swinging it about from the rooftop bar, and it went off the side with the, well, probably, I don't know, what is Maker's Mark and Coke, I guess.
Yeah, we saw that Maker's Mark billboard that was following him up there on the November 5th soiree that you guys had up there.
A member by
I have no idea what he did with the shirt. I mean, he probably gave it away to some, I don't know, some woman up there or something, and just, I don't know. Yeah,
I'm not touching that one.
Yeah, we're not going there.
Yeah, we're not going there.
A member by the name of Memory Shock, who also happens to be a forum moderator, says, wow, the big guy himself. Do you think, Simon, that there are MK Ultra type programs running currently all over the world where people have been implanted without their knowledge and it's against their will, brain implants included? And do you see ATS as a means to assuage some of the social stigma incurred from thinking, believing in conspiracies?
Well, it's certainly gone past beer and shoes, hasn't it? MKUltra, yeah. I mean, I would not be surprised, honestly, if there are still such programs happening around the world. MKUltra was the CIA's mind control project back in the 50s and 60s to study mind control and behavior modification. And, you know, something like that, I mean, I would not be surprised if some sort of clandestine organization is still, you know, proceeding forth with that and experimenting and who knows what. ATS the second question again? Sorry.
Do you think that ATS has the means to assue the social stigma incurred from thinking, believing in conspiracies?
Not really sure I understand the question, to be honest. Maybe I'm just being stupid.
I don't understand it either.
Yeah, I got to admit, I'm thinking that I may have misread a word there. Maybe what he's leaning towards is, do you think that ATS in some weird way has also propagated some thinking and believing in conspiracies?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think the internet in a whole has done that for a lot of different topics and not just conspiracy theories. ATS being the biggest message board in its category is got to attract a lot of people, and I see it as a good thing. I mean, if people out there who consider themselves conspiracy theorists happen to go on the web, they come across ATS, that's brilliant because it brings more people to us. And, you know, more minds means, you know, better research, more intelligence. So I certainly don't see conspiracy theories as a social stigma. I think it's just another topical point of any person's day, to be honest.
All right. Well, John, these next two are really short answers, I'm sure, that Simon's going to give. So I'm going to do these next two, unless you skip down to the third one.
Okay.
Agent T, this is a real simple question, I guess, Simon. Do you get more chicks since you started ATS?
Oh, hold on. Natalie's coming out. Natalie's coming out.
Yeah, put a towel on, my dear.
Give our best to Natalie also.
Yeah, could you yell out Dave and my name somewhere along the lines?
Yeah.
I'll get more chicks.
Do you really?
No.
But once the site got real popular and stuff, don't you go, hey, I'm Simon Gray? They go, who the hell's Simon Gray? And you go, oh, well, I own AboveTopSecret.com. So that doesn't really get you anything at all, right, then?
I'm not going to comment.
Okay,
It's a yes.
Okay, moving
it's gotta
on.
It's got to be a better line than, hey, what's your sign, baby? You know?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones. Okay, JPM1602, going into my second of my two-parter. Do you have any pet projects or potentials for this site that we haven't seen yet?
Not me personally. I mean, to be honest, if you want to talk about things which are happening in the ATS world and in terms of new technologies and new additions, Skeptic Overlord is definitely the best person to speak to. He's our programming man, and he's got a brilliant mind when it comes to that. I'm all well and good for coming up with kooky ideas, but in terms of getting it into place, I'm always the time.
Well, I like the idea of who would you like to see Simon marry? You know, like another Natalie Portman thread. I'd love that one.
Please, no gambling. The next member is Tank Thinker. And you know what? I just noticed this, Dave. I seem to be getting all the ones that are in the conspiracy COINTEL side of it. But anyway.
Yeah, and I'm getting all the good ones.
Yeah, I know. Tank Thinker. Yeah, thanks, Dave. Tank Thinker says this. This is going to sound a little cynical, Simon, but here goes. Is there the possibility you and the other site owners are on a conspiracy to get all the free thinkers all in one place to make it easier to get rid of them? And if not, how do you feel about the possibility that the site could be used as a witch-hunting mechanism by a future totalitarian government? Wow!
You could really put some thought into that one. No, we're certainly not some COINTEL pro group who's trying to get all the free thinkers in one place. I mean, certainly we like the fact that really intelligent, free-thinking people come to ATS and talk on it, but we have no negative or bad intentions on that front, and I certainly hope that organizations don't look at us as a single source where all these people come to. But, I mean, then again, if they're going to start looking at ATS, I mean, there's a lot more other websites out on the web where they're going to do the same thing, so I don't know. Take it as you wish. We're not involved, and I don't think these alphabet agencies and government organizations would start witch hunting on ATS.
So bottom line is we're not trying to kill free thinkers.
No, we're trying to get them in one place and actually utilize that power to prank out brilliant articles and, you know, bring more people to ATS and revolve the circle, keep it going.
Well, then that's a good segue into Blind Watcher 1. And I'm going to preface this because before I ask the question,
oh, goody,
Simon,
Dave, you finally get a good one here.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to preface this. And it simply now, this is a preface, Simon. Simon, I already know that you're going to give me a diplomatic answer to this question, but please do not give one. State the truth and give an answer that you personally believe in, at least from your heart and not necessarily from your pocketbook. Now, here's the question. I have been on ATS for a long time. Do you want more of the skeptical, I can't even say it, skeptical retort from your members, or more of the please help me, I think I'm a reptilian type thread?
Well, to be honest, if the please help me, I'm a reptilian threads are true, then, you know, why would we try and get rid of them? What we don't want is people coming onto ATS and saying, hey, I was visited by an alien last night, what the heck do I do, kind of things, when they're completely not true. I mean, when it comes to aliens and UFOs especially, stories are going to sound outlandish, but what's important on ATS, in my opinion, is to stay skeptical, because if you stay skeptical, you can then, you know, keep pushing for answers, and if the topic in question or the person in question can't provide a rationale or can't provide a positive response to help his or her story, then it's bound to be crapola, isn't it? I hope that sort of answers the question. I'm not trying to be diplomatic in all my answers. I'm just being honest. So I think skepticism is good, and it's necessary for a thorough investigation into anything.
The next member question is by counter-terrorist, and it's a really lengthy one, and it actually looks like what this member is offering is to help publicize ATS, and I can't really seem to find a question there, so I'm going to let you just peruse that on your own time there, Simon, and I'm going to move to the next question, which is by Jedi Miller, who is a Star Wars expert, according to his avatar. Simon, did you happen to watch the new Indiana Jones film? If so, what do you think about the film's content?
Yeah, I did see it, and I mean, I'm not a huge Indiana Jones fan. I've only ever actually seen the very end of the first one, and I've seen the Temple of Doom, so I'm certainly not a fanatic, but I've seen it, and I thought it was really cool that the whole premise of the movie centered around Roswell and opens up at what's supposed to be, you know, the beginnings of Area 51, leading to a flying saucer taken off at the end. I thought it was a really cool movie. I really enjoyed it, and I thought the story was really good.
And you know, there's rumors and speculation that Spielberg and his group, they came to AboveTopSecret.com and had got a lot of stuff off of here, just as, you know, kind of just ideas and thoughts to, you know, of course, piled in with the rest of their stuff. So,
yeah, well, I hope they did, and if they're listening, they should drop us an email and say hello. I mean, we certainly had a fair share of celebrities, you know, come to us in the past. I mean, some of them may have potentially been lying to us, and they could be some guy in the middle of nowhere, but yeah, I mean, that's brilliant if people are paying attention to us, especially when it comes to making big movies. That's really cool.
All right, Cosmic Storm says, Simon, what conspiracies do you believe personally to be true?
That's a tough one, because I'm not really too sure. There's a lot of conspiracy theories out there that I have a lot of interest in, like the Roswell crash and did we land on the moon and things like that. I don't have one which I would like to say is definitely true, will turn out to be true, but if I was to pin one, I'd have to say the Roswell crash. I mean, so much is gone on around it, suggesting they were just crash dummies and test dummies, and, you know, it was just America launching weather balloons. But if there was one I wanted to believe was true, then it's definitely that an alien craft landed in Roswell back in 47.
Yeah, when Johnny and I did our Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr. interview a couple of months ago, I mean, boy, you know, if you listen to that interview and you're not totally convinced by his own accounts of what transpired there, boy, I don't know what would ever convince you otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, that in itself, I mean, the testimony from people at the time and all the research and reports is a lot of stuff which really makes you have to think on that theory. And if there's anyone out there that, you know, could potentially be true, I personally think it could be that one.
Right.
Our next member is by the name of Smigalo. I believe that's how you pronounce your name. His questions have already been answered, which was gives a little background on how ATS started and how big do you think it is. Smigalo, if you've listened to the show, that has already been addressed. Our next member is Nashik. and Nashik ask a question, and I'm going to just go ahead and answer this for you, Simon. The question was, okay. Mr. Simon Gray, are you a gray alien? Come on, you know, with the name pseudonym. And I'm going to just answer for you, no, he is not. And Simon, would you like to back me on that?
Yeah, that's true. I'm not a gray alien.
And access denied. We've already taken that one. We're going down to Iron Man 433. Greetings, sir. Number one, have you ever pondered the idea of hiring an ATS investigative reporter or reporters to go out into the field and bring back their findings of new and interesting claims that are being discovered in the world every day?
A simple answer is no, I'd have to say, to be honest. I mean, members all around the world are coming to ATS and talking about, you know, events which may have taken place near to where they live or locations close by. So I personally haven't anyway thought about taking something like that forward. I guess on the side, we now promote a thing called ATS Premium at the top of AboveTopSecret.com and all the pages,
right,
which is sort of a call for all the posters out there who really want to write some thorough stuff, you know, to write up their article or their report and submit it to us, and that in turn could earn them some money. So I think that in a way could be perceived as a call for investigative journalism in itself.
Right. Well, before we go into the final question for the Simon Gray extravaganza, I want to tell all the members that, unfortunately, you know, we've done two shows, 2 weeks with Simon, and we just did not have the time because Simon's personal schedule and stuff, we could only nab him for a couple of weeks. But we apologize for all the members whose questions that we were not able to get to. We went as fast as we could, but we didn't want Simon to narrow down his answers and wanted to give you the most informative answer that he could. So, Simon, this will be the last question until, you know, down the way somewhere. But this is from the member Trams. Now, this is interesting. This is a perfect way to end your extravaganza. It says, "Dear Simon, what is the real purpose of ATS? And then it says, I want a straight and truthful answer. I don't need the extra toppings." So basically, Simon, what's our real purpose here at AboveTopSecret.com?
Simple enough. It's a message board / forums website where users around the world can come and chat with each other. Simple as that.
Very good. We've actually only done about 50% of all the questions that our members had for you, Simon.
Right.
Is it possible that perhaps a little later on down the way at a future date we might be able to bring you on and finish out some of these questions that our members have with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, let's try and get together sometime soon to keep the questions on hold and you know, by all means, try and draw some more questions. And, yeah, I'd love to go back on the show.
All right, good.
Very good. So there you have it. Simon will come back in the future. So if you would like to, and you have gone through and read the questions that have already been posted on here and have a different question that has not already been asked, please.
Because
we hate asking repeat questions. But if you have a different question that has not been asked, you can post it in the ATS Mix Arena. The name of the thread is entitled ATS Owner Simon Gray Interview. But it'll still be called Questions for ATS Owner Simon Gray. And with that, Simon, we certainly do appreciate your time. Please stay on the line with us as we say our goodbyes. Dave, you have anything you want to add real quick?
Not really. It's just that, you know, I can't tell you. I've told you this a long time ago, Simon, when we first met on the phone and I did the Three Amigos interview. But and I said it then and I'll say it now. I feel very humbled when I'm with you because when we stop and look 10 years later when you created this site, what the site is today and what we all believe and hope it will become in the future, I mean, to have a chance to talk with you, to be your friend, and obviously to be an employee of the Above Network LLC is really a very humbling experience for me personally, and I know people go, Dave's never humble. This is one time that I can tell you from my heart, Simon, you're a great guy, great friend, and I can't personally thank you enough for giving us AboveTopSecret.com.
Well, thanks, Dave. I mean, that kind of thing, I really don't know how to respond to be honest. ATS, I mean, like I said, it is just a website to me. So to have all you guys on board and to consider you good friends is, you know, it's great. So thanks very much.
All right, John, I guess that's it. So, Simon, please stay online so we can say our personal goodbyes to you off air. And so until next time on the AboveTopSecret.com, Above Network LLC, and the ATS Mix Show, I am Dave Rabbit.
And I'm Johnny Anonymous. We'll catch you soon.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.abovetopsecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll